What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy Morgan. So Russ, I love this podcast because it gives me the opportunity to come up with totally random questions to ask you on the spot that I've always wondered. I mean, so right off the gate, what is something that you have done to invest in yourself recently?
Okay, I thought you were going to come with something like hard. I was thinking like, are you going to go boxers or briefs or, I mean, that's it.
I already know that one.
Whoa. Uh-oh. Did we stop recording and do this over? Like, because that's a boo-boo.
Hey, you know.
No, you do not know, buddy. You do not know what you think you know.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes we travel, you know, share a room.
Nah.
It's just part of the
deal. Oh, man. See, now this is getting awkward. It's getting, like, you're going to ask me, like, do you invest in yourself? Sure, I do. Like, I did a little, you know, book writing course this year with my daughter. But, like, you're going to talk about, like, man, I'm watching out.
Whoa,
in my briefcase?
Whoa. More awkward is you took a book writing course and where's your book?
Oh, man, I see how quickly that got turned around.
Are there crickets in here? Because holy cow, that was like no answer.
Hey, I'm close. I'm hundreds of pages from being finished.
Closer than when you started.
That's all right. I'm getting close.
I'll
how about you,
that.
Man?
I'll
what,
give you that.
What do you invest in yourself? What's the latest thing?
Well, let's not. It's not all about me. Okay. It's not all about me. Now, I will say this. It gives me a great opportunity to talk about my daughter, Annie. She's 13, and she's just completed a several-month process, self-paced makeup certification program. I'm talking, like, this is legit. She has learned everything from, like, just doing your daily makeup stuff to, like, theatrical, like, scars and Halloween-type stuff here.
Oh, I mean, wow. She's about perfect timing for the end of October.
Absolutely. Up. So I'm telling you, she is fired up. And you know what's even cooler is she's now starting to think, hey, this is a skill. Like, this is something that people will pay me for. Like, I could do people's makeup for prom or, you know, homecoming or whatever. I'm like, absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Here's a way to get the money back. Well, all right. Well, I mean, you do look good. I mean, obviously, no, she must have picked you up before you left.
Come on, man. I don't have makeup on. Well, I mean, even using the camera today.
Just stay out of my suitcase. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So, but this is not what today's guest is talking about. Okay. Stephen Pesavento is our guest, and he is investing himself in a huge way. And we can learn tons of lessons from our interview with him.
Well, I think that when you want to know, like, what does true investment look like? Sometimes it's people think there's this mindset, well, I just have to hand over the money. We've talked about that before, how Willie Wall Street is all about us just handing over responsibility to somebody else. They're going to be smarter with it. They're going to know what to do. They already have a skill set that you don't. What I loved about this interview, though, Stallion, is that he said, I have a skill set in marketing. and I have a passion to make this a business. And he went after it. So he took his strengths and went and sought partners and expertise and other people.
And I'm excited for you to hear this, because I think you're going to pick up some tools and some ideas along the way that you have some strengths like this. You have opportunities that you can add value to the world that will help you to get to your end, to your goal for passive income or whatever you're passionate about.
Well, it's amazing too, because we could have taken this interview in a number of ways. This is a guy who did over 150 flips in his first 2 years. I mean, from a real estate background, this is somebody who is getting after it. He sends out like 60 to 70,000 pieces of mail to try to buy people's houses on a monthly basis, right? We could have went a multitude of ways, but I think what you pulled out of this was the investment in yourself and how he did that, and just drawing those nuggets, how it applies to us. So let's jump into this interview. Stay out of my suitcase, Stallion, but let's get into the interview with Stephen Pesavento.
If you've been listening to our show for a while and you've heard the Stallion and I talk about how we use these life insurance policies to invest in our business, to buy real estate and to do numerous other things, and you're like, look, I want to do that. That's what I want to have, but I don't have one of these policies. It's so stinking easy. Just go into the show notes, press the button to schedule a call with us. Somebody on our team can walk you through that process. Or go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com, click the schedule a call now.
Welcome into the show. Stephen Pesavento is here to drop some bombs on us, man. Thanks for being on.
You guys, I'm excited to be here. Let's get this going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, I love kind of learning a little bit about your backstory. And I know that you're going to bring value today, because your story kind of really starts from a value bringing position. I want you to take me back to the moment in time where you're sitting at this real estate event. You've been listening to one of the ladies who runs a real estate club. She's a flipper. You notice, I can bring value to this person and gain value. Tell me a little bit about what was going on there.
Well, it starts even just like one step before that. I had made this decision that I was going to push full into real estate. And so I saw that there was this event going on, and I knew, okay, well, how can I get close to somebody who really knows their stuff, who really knows what I need to know so that I can get where I want to go? And so I started looking her up online. I started researching. I started doing everything I could to find out everything about her. And I remember seeing her on the Flip Nerd podcast, and I listened to, kind of dove into her background. And then I went and checked out her website, and it was ugly, awful. It was terrible. And she knew it. It was very old, and you know, it was fine. It worked for her. But I thought to myself, hey, okay, this is my in. I know how to build websites. I can, you know, build something that's worth thousands, and it'll, you know, take me some time, but I can trade that time in to have an opportunity to be close to somebody.
Nice. So you went to her and you said what?
So I go to the event, I kind of plan it all out. I'm sitting there, I'm listening to everybody talk. And at the very end, I wait until everyone's done talking to her. And I'm, you know, that guy kind of off to the side, waiting.
The awkward waiting guy, the guy that's like, okay, hey, should I go now? Should I not? Should I stay? That guy.
Exactly. But in my head, that's how I felt. But outside, I looked like that guy who confidently knew what he was waiting for. But in my head, I was freaking out. But so I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, my name's Stephen Pesavento. And I noticed that you have a website that could use some work, that could look a lot better, to say the least. And I'm just jumping into this real estate thing. I'm looking at pushing in pretty hard. And I would love to have an opportunity to just follow you around. Maybe if I could just meet with you a couple times, or maybe visit a project with you. And, you know, I would love to have that opportunity to kind of learn, and just even having that chance to meet with you a couple times, like, I'd be happy to build you a $10,000 plus website, what I'd normally would charge. And before I could even finish making the offer, her hand was out ready to accept it. And she's telling me all the ways that we can, you know, jump into this, that she's got a new project coming up, that we be able to see it from start to finish, and that I should catch her on July 5th, which was like the next week, right after the 4th, because we're going to go over to the property and start, you know, getting into it. So right off the bat, first event, first attempt, I was fortunate, but I had a plan of how I was going to add value to someone's life and make them an irresistible offer, something that there's no way she couldn't accept it, because it almost took her nothing to share that information with me. It's something that she already liked doing. And I was able to give her something that I knew how to do that I could tell that she didn't.
Well, that's an amazing thought that you would come up with, how I could, you know, a lot of times people go in this, what can I get out of something versus what can I give? And that strategy seemed to work well. So you traveled with her for 30, 45 days. What all did you learn in that time frame?
I mean, I learned so much. And I think just at the baseline, I learned how to communicate in the same kind of way that an investor, a flipper, is going to communicate about what kind of things to look for, about what is going to happen when you start a new project, and what that is going to, what you need to be doing from day one when you're going to go walk a property, when you're going to talk with contractors, when you're going to negotiate, when you're going to go and find people who are going to do the work on your jobs, and when you're going to go check in and see what's happening. And so throughout that process, I mean, not even the ability to just go to the property and see what's happening is valuable, but by being that close to somebody, by adding so much value that they're willing to invite you when they're going to go design the cabinets, when they're going to go look for doors, all these little things that are those little details that you don't really think like is as important is frankly really important. And when you start understanding how they think as an investor, how they're going about making these individual decisions, it really made me be able to accelerate my growth, because then in other conversations at other networking events and talking with other investors, they could tell that I knew the lingo. So then they would take me a little bit more seriously and had to have an opportunity to potentially work with them or build some kind of relationship with them, rather than just being the newbie. And every time I went to a new event, they would see that progression. And so they would see that I'm like taking off like rocket fuel. And those kind of people are the kind of people that you want to be working around, not the kind of people who go to events for 10 years and never take action, which heck, there's so many reasons why that happens. And we could definitely get into that. But because they saw that, people were willing to invest in me.
Well, hats off to you for finding a need and using your previous knowledge, your expertise to say, okay, there's an opportunity here and I can add value. So walk us through that though. You weren't always in real estate. This is kind of your first entree into it and the story. Walk us through where you came from just briefly and how you made that transition.
Yeah. So I was, previous to this, I was working in management consulting for a number of years. And then I made my way out to Boulder, Colorado, originally from Minneapolis. Anyone from Minnesota, give a shout out to me, hit me up. But now live in Colorado, moved to Boulder to start working in the tech industry because I was in pursuit of passionate work. I realized that, oh, I've got this dream job of being a management consultant. So many people want to be a consultant, especially when you graduate college. But there wasn't that passion there. The money was there, but a lot of people were going to work literally so that they could hang out with their family on the weekend. I remember hearing that from a few colleagues, and that drove me away. So I started working in tech, and then eventually I left because my whole goal was to start my own company. And so I started working on this on-demand storage company with a couple, you know, then now friends, and we were learning a ton of things. And throughout that progression, every time that I left a role, I learned something more about what I was actually looking for. And so when I finally got to real estate, it was like, okay, well, this is the thing that I just couldn't get rid of, that thought. I had to go and push into it. I had to do it.
Well, where did that background come from? Because not everybody knows, hey, real estate is a passion. I mean, what was it that you either had in your past that said, man, I need to pursue real estate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think where it came from was, I don't know, you know, a lot of kids, they grow up watching cartoons, and I definitely watch my fair share of cartoons, but I was obsessed with Food Network and HGTV. I wanted to be a chef like Emeril Lagasse, or I wanted to renovate houses like Bob Vila. And from age 14 to like 21, I worked in commercial kitchens, cooking and dishwashing to start out with, and worked my way up. And I loved that feeling, but I didn't like the lifestyle. And I knew that there was a lifestyle beyond that that was possible for me. And so I obviously went a different route, but I read Rich Dad Poor Dad when I was 17. My father had given it to me because he had read it. And ironically, he hadn't taken those same steps down the path, but that had jump-started this idea that there's something that's possible out there. And then of course, reading Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, like right into college and realizing, oh, there's this whole other lifestyle that could be lived. And so having those ideas in my head kind of acted like a virus where they grew over time and I couldn't really get rid of them. Like once they were in my system, it was like, well, you're screwed. You can't have a regular job. You got to figure out a way to create something that's one, that's bigger than yourself, and two, that can really open up so many possibilities and potential. And so when I finally decided to jump in, I had been watching HGTV for all these years. I had been dreaming about the possibilities of real estate. I'd been talking to real estate investors here and there, and I had taken action, but never followed through with actually buying my first property. I can remember back when I was a freshman in college, I had made an offer on a house. I didn't get it. When I was a sophomore, I made another offer on a house. I ended up not getting it. Happened to be during kind of the 2008 collapse. So whether or not I could have even gotten funding for it, that's probably another question. But I kept taking these little steps, but I didn't really know what to do to follow through. And so there's always these limiting beliefs that kept saying to me, I don't know. Steven, you don't have any experience doing this. Your family doesn't have any money to do this. You don't know anybody else who's doing it. Like, who are you to go and try to take action and do something different? Like, you should probably just go back and get a job. And so these thoughts would come up, and even though there was this belief that there's something possible, there was this other belief that was pulling it back. And so eventually, fortunately, I was able to break through those beliefs and have that little moment that I really believed that no matter what, I could do it if I committed to it. And I burned the boats. And so when I jumped into real estate, I was managing web development projects. I had a team out of Uruguay, and I had a friend who was going and sourcing these projects, and we were making good money. We were just, a couple of young 20-somethings living on the beach, hanging out in Laguna during the weekdays, working kind of, not very hard, but like making some good money. But there was something missing there, and I just knew that there was something else. And so I was like, well, if I keep kind of having this little trickle of just enough money coming in, then I'm not going to be motivated to push through. I'm not going to be motivated to keep on when things are hard, because frankly, in this business, things are hard. There are times when you just want to give up. Frankly, sometimes you should, but when you don't give up and when you push through is where you have those big growths. And so for your audience, like in my first year, I did from zero deals, never owned a piece of real estate in my life, to owning, flipping or wholesaling 75 properties, with 35, almost 40 of those being full renovations or new builds. And then, within the last 3 years, I've almost done 200 deals. And so by starting with literally no experience, but deciding that I was not going to take no for an answer, that I was not going to give up, and literally having no other way to make income other than making this work, it did. And it started to pay off.
Well, I mean, you also run a podcast, and it's the investor's mindset, right? It's this mindset of what is either limiting beliefs that people have or that drive and motivation that overcomes. And you said a lot in that, and trying to break some of that out. You talked about kind of the trickle effect of money and how that good money can be the enemy of great money. It can be really the thing that prevents us from reaching that successful point. So we've gone from the point where you're sitting there as the eager learner. You're trying to gain as much information as you possibly can. You said, look, I am my best asset. I'm going to invest in myself wholeheartedly. And this is going to be the thing. You kind of said, hey, I'm burning the boats. I'm pushing in all my chips. I'm going after it. Tell us a little bit about that journey from the moment where you're walking with that realtor, a real estate investor, to the point where now you're buying your first house. And what did that first house, purchase and acquisition, how did that go? Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, there's so much in between there, and it's relatively a short time, but in the moment, it felt like forever. It felt like forever. And I really do. I believe mindset is the key to success. That's the reason I've kind of invested so much of my own time, money into personal development and learning. And that's why I launched the Investor Mindset Podcast, which if you guys like this interview, I really encourage you to go listen to it. But when I was getting started, from that point of meeting that real estate investor and deciding that I was going to do it to actually buying my first deal, there was probably 7 months in between before I actually made any money in this business, potentially 6 months. So, but what's crazy about that was there was no lack of action. If you can hear it in my voice, when I decided to do something, I did it with everything that I had, even though I didn't know what I was doing, which is great. Honestly, when you don't know what you're doing, you have a real advantage because now I know what I'm doing. And sometimes I tell myself, oh, I don't have that same drive that I had before. And you have to find it. And even if it's not about money, it's about, you know, having that choice, that decision that you make, and then that full commitment into it. And so when I was getting started, you know, I was following that person around and she had told me this method for getting properties off the MLS. Well, it happened to be in a time where the MLS was starting to not be a great resource for finding deals anymore. And if you're listening to this in 2019 or 2020, it's not a great resource. But at the time, there was still some potential there. And so I had put in 80 offers in 6 weeks on the MLS. I had found a couple of realtors who would write offers for me. And I had got MLS access through an assistant, becoming someone's unlicensed assistant, which is 100% above board. I became their unlicensed assistant. So I had MLS access. So I'd run comps. I'd look at all these properties. And then I'd call the brokers and say, hey, write this and you're going to get the full commission, you know? And sometimes they wouldn't want to write it because it'd be a low ball offer. And I'd have another broker who would write it after I called the original one and they'd at least submit it. And so I had written all these offers, and out of the 80 offers, only two of them were ever accepted. And those two that were accepted were junk deals. I shouldn't have written the offer that high. And after I did the inspection, I realized why I won. It's because the houses were literally falling apart and they were on a hill, and there was, you know, my first experience walking through a house with fleas, all kinds of nasty stuff happening. And, you know, that's why you carry bug spray in your car.
Well, in Alabama, you always have to have bug spray.
I'm literally itching right now after you said that. So let me ask you this, Stephen. There's a common theme that I think has continued to come up in your story, and that is investing in yourself. It started, I mean, I don't know if you think that this is out of the norm or not, but it is out of the norm for a kid to be like, hey, I'm going to be Bob Vila. And oh, by the way, I'm reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'm 16 or 17 years old. Like, that's really super early, not to mention going to college. And the first thing you think about is I need to buy a house. Most people are thinking I need to like figure out how to wake up in the morning. Like they're not really worried about buying a house. So, but you have constantly been investing yourself. There's a big difference between you and the guy sitting next to you in one of those events that you attended that is there for 10 years that didn't take action. Tell me what you've learned over the time that would say this is the difference between me and that person.
So what I've learned is that, you know, and I've learned this even more so recently after launching the podcast, interviewing hundreds of investors on the podcast and not on the podcast. And, you know, with that, we're actually putting on an online summit, which I really encourage you guys to attend. I will mention at the end of the show, if you guys want to find out some more information, you can text Mindset HQ to 555-888. And I'll bring that up again later. But what I've learned after interviewing hundreds of investors is that the difference is the way that they think about the challenges, the way that they change beliefs from something of I can't do this or you know, why would I be the one who'd be able to do this, to, you know, how can I, or what makes those other people capable of doing this, and how can I learn from their experience? And so for me, the difference was that I made a decision that I was going to live a better life than I, you know, than my parents or than I did growing up. I had a, you know, I have an amazing family. We had an interesting childhood. But I have, you know, two loving parents and it's amazing. But I remember thinking and growing up where money was such an issue and where money and so many people, regardless of if you're super rich or super poor, people have issues with money. And so from an early age, I had created this belief that, well, if I can create money, then that's going to solve my problems. Well, I started kind of going down this path. I realized, well, that's not true. You got to solve the problems within yourself first. And then if you have money, you're still going to have those problems if you didn't solve them. But I started going down this path and I started learning from these people. And what one of the biggest ways that they think differently is that they don't let a challenge or a failure hold them back from continuing. So a good example of that from the story I just shared was if after writing 80 offers, I said to myself, well, I wrote 80 offers and none of them worked out. Maybe this isn't right for me. Or maybe here's a underline this one, guys. Maybe I'm not the right person to do this. So many people have that feeling where they have an identity that goes into question on whether or not they're really capable of doing this. But for some reason, I had brainwashed myself into believing that I could do it and that I was going to do it no matter what. And so when you can get to a point, everybody can get there. I'm not special. I'm just doing the work, right? I'm not special. I'm just doing the work. But when you get to that point where you can change that belief into, you know, I can't do this to how can I do this? Your whole life will change because all of a sudden all these opportunities will start coming up because you're asking yourself a more powerful question, right? So if, for example, I've, you know, flipping that many houses, there's deals where I've lost $100,000, right? And $100,000 to me 3 years ago is a crazy amount of money. $100,000 is a crazy amount to me now. It's not like I've gotten rich doing this. I've learned a lot. I've grown a good business. And I've empowered a lot of other people to grow as well. But when we come into that kind of a challenge, we have to look at it and say, well, what can I learn from this? How can I actually take steps in my life to maybe not experience this again? Or why was this actually a good thing that I experienced this now so that, you know, I don't buy another property or mismanage a property or have a poor partnership or a poor employee doing something that, you know, how can I actually get ahead of this and how can I take responsibility? And so I encourage anybody who's listening to get really clear on their purpose. Like, what is it? What's the reason that you're out here doing this stuff? And so many people have this thought in their head where they're like, you know what? I just want to make, if I can just make $10,000 a month passively, then it's going to be great. Well, why does the money matter? So below the money, below the 10,000, there's a reason. And for some people, that reason might be, well, I want to make $10,000 so I can spend more time with my family. Well, again, below that, there's a reason. Well, what's the reason for that? Well, so that I can see my kids grow up and I can have a close relationship, a relationship like I never have had or that I believe that they deserve or that I deserve. And what's the reason below that? And so when you start peeling back the layers deeper and deeper, you start getting closer to what could actually drive you. And what actually drives you creates this emotional push that propels you forward. And when you're really connected with it, good things will happen. And when bad things happen, if you're connected to it, it's going to remind you why you're on the path to do it. So I encourage everybody to get really clear on what you want, but most importantly, why you want it. And not just the surface why of, I'm doing this for my kids, or I'm doing this for my family. Or when somebody's at a conference or a mastermind, they always put up the picture of their kids on their purpose statement. But why does that matter? You know, because one person that could matter for one set of reasons and another person could have a totally different one. And so get really connected to yours and start bringing that to the surface on a daily basis, if not multiple times a day, until it's just, you know, you're just vibrating with this energy to go after things.
So that is a great point. And I think that's also the very first step that people should take. Like you said, bring clarity to your why, and that's going to be the driver. Because again, if you don't have that clear, and you said this earlier, that if you start to have the money, it's going to fall apart because what you're doing it for or the purpose behind it is really not clear. And so it's going to kind of evaporate to a certain degree. One thing that I want to ask you, somebody's listening to this and they say, you know what? I love the fact that you invested in yourself by taking an inventory of what you had to offer, even though real estate was brand new to you, right? It was your first entree into a meetup of some sort. You took an inventory of what you had to offer that speaker and you brought the value. Walk us through, I mean, maybe you haven't thought about this, I don't know, but I'd love to hear how someone else could say, okay, what are the things I have to bring? Like, what would you give that person advice on? Let's say they're totally unrelated to whatever they want to pursue. Give them some steps to take. Like, how could they do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, The first thing is just recognize that everybody's got something of value to offer. Everybody has something, regardless if it's a skill like building websites or whether it's a hard skill like doing some manual labor or something in between where, you know, you can do some accounting or some numbers or something. Like, everybody's got something. And so I would do an inventory. And if you're unconfident with yourself, this is going to be hard. But you have to just keep asking yourself the question, like, what am I good at? Or what do I do that I could be good at? And don't try to compare yourself to the people who are tens on a 10 to 10 scale, on a 1 to 10 scale. Don't compare yourself to the people who are the best in the world. But if you're a 7 out of 10 on that skill set, somebody else might be a 6 or someone else might be a 1. And so for a good example is, you know, Joey and Russ, they're out here, they're putting together this incredible podcast and they're bringing people together. And they might not be Tim Ferriss or Joe Rogan, a 10. This is a comparison that I sometimes make to myself. But they're at least a 6 or a 7 on their way to an 8. And there's definitely people who, from the knowledge that they have about all this stuff, they might not be at the very top level, but they've got value to offer and they're offering it to you guys every single week. So you have to look at yourself and say, what am I good at? And maybe if you're, you know, in your career, you're great at reporting or you're great at Excel or you're great in writing documents, you're good at social media, you're good at editing. Figure out what it is that you're good at and then go to some people who are close to you, who like you, and ask them what you're good at. And then go to some people who don't like you and ask them what you're good at or what you're not good at. And just take that down. Don't take everything that everyone says as gospel. Don't start creating new beliefs that what you're bad at because someone else said it. But figure out what you're good at and then try to figure out, okay, well, in what ways can I start to look for opportunities to kind of add value to people? So you might not know right off the bat. You might not know day one that I know that I'm really good at doing reports so that I'm going to go and find Tom, the developer, and he's not good at reports. So I'm going to hook up with Tom. But because I knew I was good at websites, I had been looking for that subconsciously for a long time. And so when the opportunity came up, even though it was literally the first event that I went to, it was there. I essentially, because I was looking for it, because I was conscious of it, it appeared and it was present there. And so when you can start to do that in your life, you'll start to find those opportunities. And the big piece of that, though, I have to say this a third time, don't be afraid to work for free. You should be paying these people to learn what you're going to learn, but you should be grateful that you get the opportunity to do free work for them. Because I've also paid $25,000 or $30,000 for education, and it's well worth every penny. And that first experience, I could have easily paid for, but instead I paid with my time, effort, and energy. And I didn't have a big expectation where I was going to get out of it. But in the end, you know, I made a good relationship and I learned a lot. And so you can do that too.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, Robert Kiyosaki's book, Fake, is talking about learning from real teachers, not fake teachers. People spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to college to learn from fake teachers when they can literally go follow somebody around for 3 or 6 months, learn the inventory that you did, whether it's in real estate or whatever industry they're interested in, learn from someone who's doing it, being successful at it. And what they're giving up is what they could have potentially earned over those 6 months. Now, there's ways you can wait tables, do something at night. I mean, you can still make money, but that investment of time. So a lot of things I've heard as you were talking here, I'm really excited that we're going to have somebody with your expertise in the real estate industry be a part of our community to help go deeper. Because I've thought of 1,000 questions as we were talking of things that I'd want to know if I was going to go down this path. But we won't spend our time as we wrap up on that. A couple thoughts, though, Joey, as I'm listening to him. One, he's talking about a business. He's not talking about an investment. And a lot of people, I think, they hear these ideas, whether it's real estate or anything else, and they think of it just purely as an investment.
Right.
He's made a business, 80 offers. And I've heard you talk about how you do 60, 70, 80,000 mail outs a month. So this is a business that you're running. This is not a hobby of any part. As part of recognizing, as simple as something as recognizing the skill set that someone else has. I read that a long time ago. If you're deficient in an area, know what that area is, and that sometimes your spouse, your best friend, or whoever can help you recognize that, and they'll do it in a really kind way. I don't know if necessarily I'd go to the people who don't like me first to grab that information, but I would definitely talk to the people
I'll be
around
honest
you.
With you, Russ. I'll be
and you
I'll
give
be
them honest. Permission, they will give it back. But here's the thing: is I remember just one of the things that I really sucked at, and I still am not great at, was just the complimenting of others, the ability to like communicate the message that I wanted to have. And so I recognized that, man, there's a few people that are really good at that. And I just started complimenting them on how well they did that. And by doing that, like you said, my brain started triggering like who's good at it. And then instinctively, I started learning how to be better at it myself. So anytime you have a skill set that you're trying to learn, if you'll start recognizing those who hold it and start complimenting and acknowledging them on it, your brain's going to say, this is important. And you're going to, it's going to figure out a way to learn. Our brains are amazing tools. So,
yeah, like just last week, you told me, Joey, you suck less than when we started this podcast.
Well, I was just thinking,
that's an amazing.
As he was talking about the scale of 1 to 10, I was like, Joey, you've been a 1 in my book for a long time in a lot of areas, man. But no, this has been amazing stuff, Stephen. I really appreciate you sharing, and it's just a really cool thing. So, obviously, your podcast, The Investor Mindset. You talked about a couple other things, some summits that you're putting together. If somebody wants to find out how to reach you and learn more about what you're doing, where would they go?
I encourage you guys to text Mindset HQ, all one word, to 555-888. That's Mindset HQ to 555-888. Or head to theinvestormindset.com and you can check out what we've got going on there. Obviously, we have this incredible summit with 16 amazing high-level investors who are going to be diving deep into some of the real estate tactics that are really going to propel your business in 2020. But most importantly, it's built on the foundation of a solid mindset, the right beliefs, and you know the right stories that are going to help you get there. So I just want to leave you guys with this. Like, if you're at a point where you're thinking about getting, you know, taking a next step in anything, and if this interview was beneficial at all, I want to ask you to commit to yourself one action you're going to do right now that is going to push your goal forward. So if you're getting into real estate investing, what's the person that you're going to call on the phone? What's the action you're going to take? What's the program you're going to purchase? What's the thing that you're going to do, and schedule that? If you're in your car, pull over. Just pull over right now and commit to yourself to do this one thing. Because once you do that one thing, when you're done with that, commit to yourself the next thing you're going to do and create that little momentum. Even if they're just little pebbles along the way, it's going to start piling up. Before you know it, you'll have a solid foundation. So this was a lot of fun, guys. If you have any questions for me, definitely reach out and let me know. I always love working with people on this stuff, and just get after it.
Man, Stephen, thank you so much for sharing all this and for being willing to come on and do a Q&A in the community where people can take a little bit more behind the scenes. I don't know if you're willing to do this, but I'd love to ask you more like, what is that phone call like? What is in the offer process? Like some of the things that you do inherently, I feel like our community could really benefit.
Well, those practical questions, I think that's the fun stuff that you talked about, like getting on the phone call, doing it 20 times, 30 times a week early on. I'm sure your team is doing it 100 times a week now. Those would be interesting things that someone could learn. And that's part of what our community is about, is having experts like Stephen and other people who are bringing value that you can learn these things. Maybe that skill set that you're trying to acquire exists. And as you've heard Stephen said, there's so much that we can learn from each other. So if you haven't already joined the community, make sure you go right now to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Join us up and definitely check out the different things that Stephen has shared with us. That's Mindset HQ, text 55888 and be a part of that. And Stephen, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you guys so much. And I look forward to hearing from you guys in the Q&A.
Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This is the place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.